We're now at part three on this Feast of Pentecost, and it is, as you might expect, a discourse on the gifts from 1 Corinthians 12. It starts off with verse 3 of chapter 12, the second part of verse 3, actually, and then it skips some verses and then ends with some further verses of this chapter. I want to start now. But I want to read how Paul starts, anticipating. Now, in regard to spiritual gifts, pneumatika, spiritual things, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. He always says that, right? I don't want you to be ignorant. And we go right on being ignorant. We don't listen to it. You know how when you were pagans, you were constantly attracted and led away to mute idols. In other words, you could be swept away and get a demon into you, right? Happens a lot in that pagan culture, still does. That's why there's so much work in deliverance when you're in a country which is predominantly pagan and practicing a pagan religion. Therefore, I tell you that nobody speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be accursed. Must have been people getting carried away saying that. I mean, that's okay. We'd even figure that one out. Okay. And no one can say Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. And now he starts. There are varieties. There are varieties of charisms, charismaton, but one and the same Spirit. There are varieties of services, diakonion, but there's only one Kyrios, the Lord. There are varieties of operations, actions, but there's only one Theos. So you hear the Trinity, Spirit, Lord, God. And this Theos, he's working in all things in everyone. And then a very powerful line before he launches into it. He says, to everyone is given the manifestation of the Spirit. To every baptized person is giving a manifestation of the Spirit for a benefit. Often translated a common good, but that's not correct. For a benefit, symphiron. Everybody has a gift, and sometimes more than one. So what's it for? Well, Peter already tells us, 1 Peter toward the end, chapter 4. He says, you know, if you've got a word gift, speak it. If you've got a service gift, do it. You're empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to move on, but then I want to compare this with the a text in the letter to the Ephesians, okay? But he's saying, you see, how does the Spirit make us one? By needing one another. Let me just repeat that line once again, because it's so important. You see, to each one, ekasto, is given a manifestation of the Spirit. See, the gifts manifest the Spirit, manifest his infinite creativity. And if you took all the lists of the gifts, Paul, Corinthians, Peter, Ephesians, not all the gifts are named. When you're with a Christian group, you can spot them, how people are endowed to build up one another, to make the body of Christ. In a moment, I'm going to read you the text from Ephesians. But this is Paul's first, probably chronologically, the first time he's talked about this. He has to. He's in Corinth. They're an exuberant lot. And they're not too disciplined. It's a port town. It's between two bodies of water. It's an isthmus. So it's a double port town. So they're pretty excited about all this stuff, and they should be. And the Spirit, in his mercy, is pouring out these gifts. And they get a little bit distracted and mixed up, and Paul is giving them a lesson. Now, this is chapter 12. I'll point this out to you. It might help. Chapter 13 in Corinthians, everybody knows what that is, right? It's a treatise on agape. And then chapter 14, he takes this treatise on agape and applies it to the teaching on the gifts in 12 and says this is the way agape regulates the gifts. That's the way Paul works a lot. Sometime I will give other examples. I'm just conscious of the time now since I have other stuff to do here. You see, our liturgical text skips a whole bunch of stuff now. To the Spirit is given some expressions of wisdom, expression of knowledge. Our translation is pretty good. It's the logos, tis sophias. It's a logos of wisdom. It's a logos of knowledge. It's a logos. And he goes on to talk about other kinds too, you see? And then, don't get swept away with tongues, he says. I thank God I pray in tongues more than any of you. So he's not saying there's anything wrong with tongues. I mean, he's boasting about, I got more tongues than you do. But use your head. You know, if you got a bunch of strangers in that place and you all start doing that, he's going to think you're nuts. You know? But if one of you has a prophetic word in tongues and you say there's a man who just walked in here who's living with a woman who's not his wife and the Lord says change, and bing, that word hits him, you've done him a great favor. And that does happen. I've been there and that's happened. I think I already told you once about this girl lost her brother. He died. And she was disconsolate. And she's a French woman. And she was at a prayer meeting, some other part of the country even, I think. And somebody had a word of knowledge. There's a woman here, a young woman, who lost her brother recently, and she's disconsolate. Thus says the Lord, I'm sorry I had to take him, but it was his time. But I want you to be consoled. I am taking care of him. Amen. Now, wouldn't that help that woman? You see? So there are, but you have to, and that's why he'll do this whole section on love. What is the regulation for the gifts? Love. Not prudence in the sense of caution. Love. Love is not always cautionary, right? That person who had that gift, that word about the woman who lost her brother, takes some guts to say things like that. I remember once in Rome in a great big meeting, I don't forget how many thousand people were there, lots. And a word came, I was kind of given the words, there are two people here contemplating suicide. The Lord said, come to me, don't do it, I will take care of your life. Well, I'm standing here between like 50,000 people, and I have to say that? Of course I have to say it. If I've discerned that it's really a spirit word from the Lord, I have to. So I do, and sure enough, there were two, and it saved their lives. So, all I'm trying to say is, these endowments of the Spirit are for real. You see? So Paul goes on to say, so if you're praying a big blessing in a tongue, and nobody knows what you're saying, how are they going to say amen? I wouldn't say amen if I didn't know what the guy said, unless I knew in my spirit that it was really from the Lord. Am I clear? You see, now, he does a lot of work there on tongues because it's an exciting gift, you know what I mean? But it might be the least of the gifts, and it is. But it's like a gift of a flower, you know. You want a diamond ring? Yeah, but here's a flower. Get started. You get used to yielding to the work of the Spirit. And that's another school for the gift of tongues, okay? And so he goes on then. We're now in the second part of this. The body is one, and the members are, and it has many meli parts or members. All of the members of the body, the parts of the body, being one, make up one body. Now, this is a very interesting line. So it is with the Christ. Now, this is the second time in Corinthians he said something like this. So it is with the church, right? I mean, he's not saying Jesus had hands and feet, and no, he's saying, so it is. So ho Christos here means the church. The church is ho Christos, the anointed one. You'll see the same thing in chapter earlier in the letter to the Corinthians, you see? Utos ke ho Christos. We were all baptized by one spirit into one body. Oh, I wish we could ask the Holy Spirit to get Paul's vision. See, this isn't a pep talk. This is a mystic saying these things, a mystic who's risking his life to preach this. Then shipwrecked, a day and a night on the sea, stoned and left for dead. And he keeps on going, teaching this, because this is important. And so he goes on, you see, and this is the text that the church gives us for Pentecost. Now, I want to look at another example of it, where it is so beautiful. Again, you see, and he gave some as apostles, others as prophets, others as evangelists, others as pastors and teachers. You see, Jesus went down. He's quoting this from the Psalm. He went down, and then he ascended. This was applied to Moses, you see. He went ascended to the mountain, and he brought back the law. But Jesus descended into hell, and then arose to heaven, and brought back the new law, the Spirit. See, that's his argument here. And he gave some as apostles, others as prophets, others as evangelists, others as pastors and teachers, to equip the holy ones for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God. We've got to know him. Knowledge of the Son of God. To mature manhood. Actually, the text, I do have it, but I don't have time to look it up. It means, I'm going to look it up, I don't have time. But it means to the mature, the full man, the new Adam, not just me and mature, the whole Adam, the whole church, to be of full stature, that we may no longer be infants tossed by waves and swept along by every wind of teaching arising from human trickery, from their cunning in the interest of deceitful people. Now listen. Alithevontes en agape, it says, doing the truth, living the truth, truthing in love, we should grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, by the work of the Holy Spirit, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, with the proper functioning of each part, brings about the body's growth and builds itself up in love. That's the meaning of the gifts and the work of the Holy Spirit.